Sup nerds, welcome to episode 12 of Powerful, the Power Metal Podcast. Now don't worry, Forgates is here for the rest of the episode. It's just as she went along with Zelda Fan to our Beatles studio to have a little chat with German power metal outfit Don't Drop the Sword. Don't worry, I'm just here sending you off from the editing room. Let us now dive into the fire and get to know this nice little band, the pros and cons of self-producing, singing in other languages, dreams of international touring, and keeping your steel away from the grasp of gravity.
My name is Andreas, Andrew in English, I guess, and the nickname is Anti, which most people call me. So I'm the singer and... do you call it vocalist or singer?
You can call it either one.
Okay.
Whatever sounds cooler to you.
So I'm the guy with the most important microphone and the one who writes most of the lyrics. And yeah, I'm 31 years old, last time I looked, and living in Landshut, Lower Bavaria, Germany, studying social works and currently doing an awesome interview.
Wow. Nice. Impressive. How about the other guy? Who are you?
I'm Alvin. I play the rhythm guitar and here and there some solo action, I guess. I'm 26 years old, and yeah, what I do? I work as a translator, but right now on a different project. I can't say too much about it because of an NDA.
Fancy.
Yeah, but
you've already said too much.
And, yeah.
He could tell you more, but he'd have to kill you.
I'd have to kill you. I have a certain set of skills.
It's so metal.
That's pretty much it.
So secretive. Wow, that's pretty cool. and most of all, your most important job is that you are members of this band called Don't Drop the Sword.
So yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You're right.
I think that might be why we are talking to you today.
Oh, okay.
You think so? So I first heard about you guys from your EP Into the Fire, which actually was really memorable. I think it was one of my memorable new releases from early last year. But let's go further back. Tell us about how you formed the band and how you all met and what gave you the burning desire to form a power metal band.
I'll have this one passed on to Alvin. He was there before I was.
Yeah. So I was basically a number three in the constellation.
Nice.
The guys who started it was Dom and Matthias. They kind of both had the passion to play like epic and power metal. And they also played in a band together before we started. And yeah, when that band, like, how do you say, when they quit,
yes.
They wanted to keep playing and said, okay, what's the genre we both like, what we like playing? And that was what we're doing now, like power metal, speed metal, and a fusion of that. And then soon after, Dom contacted me because he kind of saw me play with another band I was in. And I said, yeah, sure. Power metal, fucking love it.
yes.
But I was more into like the Japanese genres at that time, like Sex Machine Guns.
Oh, nice.
Check out if you don't know them.
That is awesome. I know them.
That was like kind of the inspiration I brought into the band. Like,
oh, that's so awesome.
That's more of the speed aspect than, I guess, like speed metal. And then we found Max, which was not a huge coincidence because the blues rock band Matthias is playing in, I guess as a side hustle to Don't Drop the Sword. Their singer is the mother of Max, and she said, yeah, my son plays guitar and he's not in a band right now, and he's like extremely talented, as of course every mother would say.
Wow, what a cool mom.
And we were like, hey, sure.
It's like a musical family.
Yeah, let's invite him over and see what we can play. And it turned out to be fantastic. And Then Dom used his Facebook friends list and tracked down Antti, who he met some time ago, who also played in a band, and maybe Antti can tell more.
Yeah, glad to take over. I plucked the vocal cords before heavy metal and thrash metal band called Improved Gods. We're a local thing here in the town which I live, and we played actually two gigs, I think, at least one gig with Dom's band, Distorted Perfection, and hence we knew each other without really knowing that for 2 or 3 years. Wow. And as Alvin said so nice, he tracked me down and he asked me if I was in a band currently, and I said no, but I wish I were. And then he said, yeah, we too. And thus I was invited over on a military ground, pretty important. Had to bring my pass and all.
Wow, and okay.
Yeah, it was awesome. I thought, yeah, cool, might be another nice garage band, but hell, was I wrong. That's not garage. That's
I think you've expanded far beyond garage band that, status
yeah.
now.
Totally. I couldn't imagine what kind of music music they'd make and on which level. Awesome. I was overwhelmed and yeah, I was in without much hesitating.
That is amazing. So Dom seems to be your like social media guy. Is that true?
He is. He definitely is.
Yeah, he's our social media and I guess PR manager and marketing guy and designer guy. Like he's
wow.
He's the spider watching the web.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also follow him on Instagram.
I guess like everyone does.
His personal account in addition to your band account.
The band account is managed by me, by the way.
Oh, okay. Hello. Yeah. Yeah, and the podcast Instagram account is managed by me. So we have indirectly met on the internet.
Okay, nice.
Awesome. So I think what I've been dying to know, and maybe you've said this in other interviews, can you explain the name Don't Drop the Sword?
I just thought
it is such a unique name and I will never forget it.
Usually band names aren't telling me what to do and how to live my life.
Well, it depends on the genre you listen to.
I guess so.
Yeah. that's another one I'd like to give a pause since Alvin was there when it was created.
Well, yeah, but I think Antti was there too. I don't know, but I definitely have it quite well in my memory.
I hope your stories match then.
Yeah. So it was during the time when we would try to find a band name. You know, we went through all kinds of cliche components of a band name, like it has to have thunder or power or
it's a power metal band, of course.
Whatever.
The name of a weapon, like hammer.
Yeah, hammer, axe, yeah. What else? Like we
dragon.
Dragon, yeah.
Dragon,
we
hammer.
Up into all these components, like what do we want to have in there? And we had a huge list of potential band names, but all just seemed bland and would, go under in all the flood of
dragon hammers and thunderbolts,
power force, fire,
power fury,
lizard crossbows,
knight of the dragon of the castle of the king or whatever
of Twilight.
And so then Max just came up with the joke, don't drop the sword, ha ha ha, and we were all laughing and joking about it. But the next rehearsal, we came in and thought, hey, maybe we can interpret more into Don't Drop the Sword. Like, we were playing a genre that is not super trendy right now, and all the trendy bands have like sentence names, you know. It's more of a metal chord thing to have a sentence as a name, you know. And
that's so
that
true.
Was kind of a meta joke then. And it kind of evolved into the message we were trying to bring across, like, don't drop the sword, like, don't forget about, I guess, the true heavy metal, and...
I like that.
And, yeah, we kind of said, yeah, let's just take that, like, it's unique, like, if you if you see a CD by Don't Drop the Sword in the power metal CD rack, it'll definitely catch your eye.
That is what happened to me. I was like, what is this band name? I have
yeah,
to listen
see, it works.
To this.
Yeah, that got me into it too.
and your EP's album cover was like a volcano. So I was just like, volcano? Don't yeah, drop yeah. the sword.
Into
what
the fire.
This?
Right. There we have the sentence.
Yes.
Even
that's
more
amazing.
Sentence.
Yeah.
Well, and although I wasn't there when it was created, those were the early days, as far as I know. I was there when it got another meaning additionally, when I wrote the lyrics for Don't Drop the Sword, while the instrumental tracks all already were done. There was no lyrics, no text.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, what's the message behind the sentence, don't drop the sword? It's like, don't give up. Don't drop
oh,
the sword.
Yeah.
Don't stop fighting.
I really like
and
that. Yeah.
That's
don't fuck kinda, it up. Don't drop the sword.
Yeah, right.
don't you got to stay in the fight. Don't drop your sword.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a kind of message that I wanted to bring across with the lyrics of Don't Drop the Sword. And of course, the band was... they agreed totally and said, yeah, that's another nice meaning. And I also like the aspect of holding up the sword of the true metal, as Alvin already said.
Of heavy metal.
And our fans also seem to like it.
Great. Yeah, the fans do like it. So it sounds like the instrumentals for the EP was written before the lyrics. So was it you who decided to write like Lord of the Rings and the Dark Tower themed lyrics?
Yeah, guilty.
in both the EP and the full length album.
Yeah. Although I have to say, there's some credit. Most credit of the EP has to be given to Maxi and Dom.
Okay.
Dom wrote the lyrics for Memories. And Maxi wrote the lyrics of Death of Glory and The Rise of Neith. And I was the one to complete this quintet with Into the Fire and Don't Drop the Sword.
Oh, okay.
Since those were, the other three were already written when I joined the band. And I just looked over the lyrics and said, yeah, that's cool. And what if I just sing it like this and change a little here and there? And they said, yeah, it's all right. And there we were. The EP was done.
All right. So it really was a team effort. That's so great. So I noticed that on Bandcamp, the EP is pay what you want. So was there a reason that you guys decided to release it for essentially free?
I'd love to summon Dom for this one, since you said he's
can
our marketing
summon the
guy.
Spirit of Dom. Oh, he is. Oh my God. Maybe it worked. And like,
where have I got my pentagram? Damn.
Yeah, we can summon the spirit of Dom.
I don't know, Alvin. Do you remember what exactly were the reasons?
Well, reach, as he likes to say, we need reach. And if you give something away for free, like more people are going to listen to it and download it. And the idea was the digital version is free. Like if you want to check it out and if you want to support us, then you can head over to our web shop and buy the CD. So you have a hard copy of it with this super great artwork done also by Dom. And yeah, that's why we said, okay, we need a digital version on a platform that you know, people can use to check out our music. And I actually don't know why we didn't just put it on YouTube, but it is on YouTube. I don't know.
Yeah, someone else did.
Is it on YouTube? I don't
I'm
know.
I'm sure someone put it there.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was before the whole music streaming explosion or whatever, that where people would still want to download music and then have it on whatever device they use. So Bandcamp was just in our eyes the best option.
Yeah, we find Bandcamp really useful also. I think Bandcamp has sort of made a resurgence. I don't know if it ever went away, but I see more and more people using it now. So it's a great option.
It's that direct to consumer.
Huh. And it's the fairest one, yeah. I think. Because
yeah.
If you have something you can give away for free and if some guy, I don't know, who doesn't know what to do with his money says, okay, I want to give these guys $50 for for their review and then have at it.
Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely.
It's also free, so.
Why limit them to only spending $10 on an album?
And I think it's a nice concept, not forcing people into giving you a certain and fixed amount of money. They can pay you what they think your music's worth. And we had some people, I think many customers who paid over the amount set.
The typical price of an album.
Yeah, exactly, the average price. So I don't think, as it's many often said, that that you would make bad business or less money than when selling copies in hard copies.
I really like that. I like the fact that if you, for some reason, like you cannot afford the album but you still want to listen, and you can also, it's also good, very good publicity, like for distribution and accessibility. And if someone really wants to support, like really loves and wants to support your work, they are able to do that. So I think that's a great idea.
And did you guys say that Dom did the artwork for Into the Fire
and Path to Eternity?
He did both.
Oh, that's cool.
And the entire booklet for Path to Eternity, like all the design work that went into it was done by Dom.
Wow, Dom is truly a wizard.
He is. And
he's a creative wizard.
He takes rightful pride in it. Was praised in many reviews.
Yeah. So the EP was self-produced, is that correct? Like without correct. The help of a label. How about the first full-length album, Path to Eternity?
Yeah, this one was also created without a label.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it got pretty much praised for that fact too.
many
reviews and reviewers who said as you just said, it's incredible. Those five guys stamped this out of the ground and had no support, and we just did it.
Nice. How long after the EP did you start working on it? It's a beast of an album. It's long.
Thanks.
14 songs, an hour long.
Yeah,
we did our best.
Well, some of the songs were already existed before we even released Into the Fire.
Yeah.
So we had to pick from the songs we already had, which one do we want to put on Into the Fire, like, because it was our first EP, and we wanted to bring across what we do and the style we want to bring across in five tracks, and had to decide, okay, which ones do we pick. I think we had like 7 or 8 songs at that point, and said, okay, the other 2 or 3 are just gonna go onto the album. And then we just kept writing album songs after releasing our EP.
How do you guys think you grew going from the EP into the full-length album, as far as like your musical composition strategies or inspirations, how you grew as a band, basically?
Huh. Well, we definitely got a bit more advanced and, how do you say this in a neutral way? complicated when it comes to songwriting.
Oh, okay.
Sophisticated,
I understand.
I guess.
Yeah, you could call it sophisticated. You could also
without
call it complicated.
Complicated. You got more progressive.
Yeah, you could say that.
I think that's the word we were trying to dance around.
Yeah.
Trying to nobody avoid really that. Knows what it means, so you can just call everything progressive.
Okay.
It's like alternative.
Exactly.
Alternative. Alternative power metal.
Exactly. I wonder what that sounds like. No, we from my point of view, it wasn't a real transgression. It wasn't a real step. It was more like a long walk, and I didn't have the feeling that it was so. Now the EP is done. Now we do the album. It was like one long line of writing songs, and somewhere along that road, we got a bit more interested in the fact: what can we do? How can we get some? How's it? Is Maxi always saying a classical influence there? and maybe turn up the BPM a little bit, and I'd like to have a choir here and some things like that. And hey, why don't we get a double lead guitar solo here and there? So we just try to, pimp up the music, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely got more pimped out. Like,
maybe the wrong genre for that word, but I think you know what I mean.
I like it. It's like a pimped out version of the EP. Yeah, you have really cool, like, folksy sounding chorus, like in Rotten Wings, and there's definitely like more vocal harmonies that I'm hearing.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like some of the little touches, like the drum interlude, Drums in the Deep. I thought that was really cool. Something you don't see very often, I guess. That's probably Dom's doing. Props to him for that. I like the sea shanty, like siren song, the folksy gestures, tears, lots of like little things, or like the really speedy, like King of the Dragon Age type stuff.
Thank you. what more can I say? Thank you. Those are exactly the things that I like too.
And we appreciate it. That's awesome. Yeah, as power metal fans, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Yeah, so I've been like, since I'm the Instagram overlord of Powerful Podcast, I like to look at, you know, what bands are doing. So, it looks like you guys have been touring and stuff. Do you want to tell us about your tours? Is it just in Germany or all through Europe?
Alvin, it's time to get emotional. Let go.
Let's get into it. Mostly around our area. So we, of course, had a lot of shows at in our hometown, which would be Erding. We had one show in Landshut, which is Antti's HQ.
My hood.
Your hood?
His hood.
Nice.
And like a couple of shows in Munich, but we weren't able to expand more. Like, we'd love to, definitely. Like, if there's an offer we can take, we're always happy to take it. But somehow it's kind of difficult to, you know, to really get out there and,
yep.
I don't know, play some festivals or whatever, because you never know when they're already completely booked. So if it's like 3 months up to a festival and you contact them, they say, oh no, the roster is already completely full. That's where I guess labels help, but you know, we're trying to manage without them.
Oh.
Do you guys like staying independent rather than going with a label?
We consider working with a label, but I think it was Dom who once said that we'd like to keep the independence and get some support for being independent. So that's kind of the ultimate goal, having someone who supports us for what we do and what we are, where we don't have to bend and bow too much.
Yeah, that's the problem, because labels are companies and they have their corporate identity, and if someone doesn't fit into that, then they of course want to mold them into what they want to represent, and it's kind of difficult to really do what you want to do.
It's also a bit paradox.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've always wondered how much influence a label has on the creativity and the outputs that a band makes.
Well, up until now, we can't really say.
Yeah, we cannot say.
But I guess I'd like to make the experience working with a label that could be profitable for both sides, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All depends on the people, I think, on the humans.
It sounds like you've only played shows within Germany for now. Do you have any like goals for the future? Like, what are some things you want to accomplish with the band?
Well, for example, playing shows outside of Germany.
That would be a start.
Yeah, obviously. I'd love to play way more gigs, and I know. It sounds a bit like a cliche, but who wouldn't like, as Alvin once said, who wouldn't like to make music for a living.
Yeah.
I think if you get paid for living your passion, what could be greater? It's not work if it's fun.
Yeah, of course. That's amazing.
Yeah, so you could always just play shows, make
play
music,
more shows, get out
play
there,
more shows,
make music.
Play the new music.
Yeah. Absolutely. And never stop writing new music and taking the music out there to the world, which we already pretty much covered from the sales statistics that I saw. We reached really many countries. Wouldn't have
Thanks
expected
internet.
That impact.
That is so Absolutely. Awesome.
Yeah. That is awesome. Like, we've run into that too when we look at the statistics for the podcast. It's like, wait, there's people in Japan who listen to us? What?
Yeah, we have a listener from Morocco. Shout outs to Morocco. Hi.
Hello,
oh, shout outs to Indonesia. We had listeners
Indonesia,
from Indonesia too.
At?
Yeah.
Come to Brazil.
My people. Oh, yeah. Everyone's like, come to Brazil. And then you guys are like, we haven't even stepped out of Germany.
Everyone has to come
yeah.
to Brazil.
Absolutely.
The Latin American fans are very passionate.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the same impression, yeah. When you read, following other bands, you can't get around the impression that Spain and Portugal, they're all totally into the music and the scene. Also on Facebook, I do have some friends from around Mexico and Southern America in general.
Yeah.
And they are totally also into German Gothic scene. I often explain and they said, yeah, they got such nice pale skin and it looks so awesome.
Just the looks of pale skin. It's really funny.
And they showed me a picture of one of the bars and pubs, and it was totally decorated in German style and had all the things like Bauhaus and other gothic and metal bands and flags everywhere.
It's amazing.
And was more German than Germany.
They love awesome your country. No, that's so funny.
They should put that on their sign, more German than Germany.
More German than Germany. Well, it's like CF and I are from the US, and we always wonder, like when, and I don't know, I watch a lot of anime. Did I just admit that on podcast? Mm-hmm. Whenever they have like an American character, like they just exaggerate it so much. They have like three tattoos of American flags, and they have like exaggerated English. It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be anime without exaggeration, would it?
Exactly.
Right.
That's one question I've been asking myself. How did you guys come across our band?
So I think I was just looking at the new releases thread on Reddit/rpowermetal. Mm-hmm. And there's one guy, or like, I think there's several guys that compile new power metal releases from metal archives and post them. And I just saw like the interesting band name, and I think somebody was like, you should check this out if you like German power speed metal bands and you like old Blind Guardian. So I was like, ooh, let's give it a shot.
Cool.
Yeah. I think I was like chilling in the Discord server and someone mentioned like, oh, hey, there's this Don't Drop the Sword album. It's pretty good. And I'm like, that's a weird name. I'll check it out. I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. It's kind of like old Blind Guardian.
This was like way back when the EP actually came out in like January 2017. So mm-hmm.
I think that's how I found it.
So you were with us from the start, one could say.
I was with you from the start. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So were you guys influenced by like other German bands like Running Wild and Blind Guardian and Hammerfall and such? Like, did you guys listen to that stuff?
You just named them. speaking for me personally, I listened to Blind Guardian and Hammerfall not that much, but very much Running Wild, Halloween,
yes.
That stuff. It accompanied me through my whole youth, along with, of course, the classics, Judas Priest, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, you name it. And I was totally into this fast and melodic and hymn-like stuff, and gave me goosebumps every time when listening to an epic chorus or something like that. And the sheer speed, the high voices, was totally into that. And yeah, of course, other music came along. And I guess everyone knows that you shift your focus. Sometimes it's more this kind of metal, then maybe it's not metal at all, and you listen to quite another genre.
Yeah.
And you always come back to this one. And yeah, that's the music that was with me all the time. So one of these bands, one of the songs at least, always in any playlist, I guess. So Alvin, how about you?
Yeah. So the bands I listened to when we started the band was, as I already mentioned, Sex Machine Guns, which is like, I guess, a pretty much speed metal band from Japan, from the when they started, like early 90s. It was definitely a 90s band, and I just loved the speed and the fierceness, like the power screams, and just that was just what I wanted to do. And later on, I listened more to Manowar and got into the epic aspect.
Oh, nice.
And the mid-tempo songs. Yeah, as long as it has power screams, I'm way into it.
Mid-tempo and power screams just pretty much defied Manowar. That's great.
You need fast guitars and high vocals saying whoa, and you're good.
Yeah.
And you're good.
I'm also... And also, if you're playing the new God of War...
Oh yeah, I just finished
that. Please do yourself a favor and put like the all of Manowar Spotify playlist in and just play to that. Is so goddamn epic.
That sounds perfect.
Also, you get to smash faces while listening to Manowar, so
great face smashing music.
You have a big axe and everything, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And muscles.
Lots of muscles.
Muscles.
And no shirts.
No shirts. Belts.
Many belts. Not just belts. One. Many.
Needs more belts.
I just remembered something. You asked me about the Dark Tower. Did you know from reading the lyrics that We Deal in Lead is about the Dark Tower saga? Or how did you know?
So I was actually trying to... I couldn't find the lyrics for your... for the EP, because I only have a digital copy, and I think I like read in some other reviews of the album that We Deal in Lead was about the Dark Tower, so I just figured like, oh, maybe you're a fan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still awesome. Got to read it in English though. Didn't come around to that yet.
Yeah.
No, I just wondered if you also were a fan and knew from listening to the lyrics, like, that's in the books.
the only one super obvious to me was the Lord of the Rings one.
Yeah, I picked up on the Tolkien ones and the Song of Ice and Fire.
Okay. The Game of Thrones ones, yeah.
Blood will decide him, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so other interview with another German musician, Hansi Kirsch.
Who's that?
That? I don't know.
I've never heard of him.
He's a really nice guy.
Okay.
And he told us that like they made an active decision to write music and sing in English because they think like it will reach a broader audience. Like, did you guys decide to make music in English for the same reasons?
I think someone once said to me in my old band when I suggested to play a song like in German or in Spanish, they said, well, English is kind of the mother tongue of metal. Listening, yeah, seems so. I listened to many bands like, I think the Spanish, Dunedain, and other bands playing their music and singing in Spanish, Russian and Italian and everything you can imagine. And I think it also sounds awesome. It's just a bit strange to the ears of people who only listen to music with English texts, lyrics.
Yeah.
I don't know. Alvin, you might not have that problem when listening to Japanese music.
No, yeah. I love Japanese music and metal, like... also, yeah, Dieron Grey is one of
Dieron Grey is fantastic. We're also huge ex Japan fans around here.
Yeah.
Actually, just me and Darko, but we're trying to get the other guys.
Yeah, I need that's what I need to get to. I'm slacking.
Show them Umbrella and hey, teacher. Yeah. That's strange use of English there.
Some people just don't seem to be into it. I don't know. Like, I personally, I love it.
Oh, but I love it. It's so speedy, people, and the melodies are freaking amazing. And oh, man.
I'm a big fan of the German folk metal band Equilibrium. Most of their songs are in German, which I'm very bad at picking up on lyrics, and then they're growling vocals, and then they're in German.
Yep.
So I have no idea what's going
on. That's it with understanding.
But it sounds cool.
Yeah, maybe sometimes that's also part of the charm, like not knowing the language and just hearing the sound of the language. Like sometimes just the message just comes across, even if you don't know what the words are.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just creates a mystery fascination about it, I guess. Which is very personal for everyone, right? Or individual, let's say.
Now that you say it, when I didn't understand English that good, I was like 15 or 16, I guess, and I bought myself The Nightfall in Middle Earth, and I listened to it, and I didn't get that much of the lyrics, I have to admit, but the atmosphere, that was, it was overwhelming. Again, the goosebumps. And you make up your own pictures and stories behind the whole thing. And without reading the booklet that time and being very much into the Tolkien universe, I just thought it was about Lord of the Rings, and that was that. But I, even knowing what I now know, I can't get those pictures and feelings and the atmosphere out of my head that I had when I first listened to The Nightfall. So, yeah, I think Alvin's absolutely right. The words maybe are not the most important thing, but the overall message or feeling that comes across.
Yeah, yeah, I really think Nightfall in Middle Earth was so well done because, you know, I haven't read the Silmarillion yet, but, like, I was still able to get all the emotion from, you know, the stories that the album was telling.
Yeah, I read the Silmarillion in the meantime.
It made me really want to read it, especially after, like, listening to Hansi talk about it.
Yeah, you can really really get lost in it. It's it's exhausting, but it's also worthwhile.
Oh, sounds like a good summer project.
At least the summer, yeah.
Yes. Well, I think that's all the questions I have for you today. ZF, do you have anything?
I think we basically hit on all the key points we wanted to. I think at this point I would just ask for what your guys' big, crazy, wild dreams are for Don't Drop the Sword in the future.
Oh, that's a nice question.
If you like, go ahead so I have more time to think.
Smart.
Bastard.
Yeah, lucky bastard.
I don't know. Crazy is depends on definition. Like, to me, crazy would be doing a world tour and going all over the place and just playing our music for all our fans in the world. Like, from the guys we got messages from, where they're all from, South America.
Come to Brazil. Come to Ecuador.
Very strong fan base in South America, I have to say. So I think we definitely have to go to South America once too.
Yeah.
to go see all of our fans there. Yeah, we have to. Yeah, it would be amazing, like, to play in front of a huge crowd and just taking in all that energy from the crowd. I think that would be crazy in my definition.
Yeah,
crazy good.
I can pretty much sign that. The image that came to my mind when you said crazy dreams, I just imagined us standing on a huge open air stage and thousands of people standing
playing
there
or something like that.
What a beautiful vision.
Anything where the atmosphere is right, like the night comes down slowly and people standing there with bright eyes and waiting for the show to start and singing our songs.
That's such a beautiful description. You're going to make me cry.
Yeah, the imagery right there is great.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just that's what I dream about when it comes to crazy dreams. That's my definition. And making all those people, not exactly cry like I did with you. Sorry for that.
You're gonna make me cry and headbang at the same time.
As long as it's happy tears.
Happy tears.
Nah, I want to bring happy tears to thousands of people.
Oh.
And that's also very nice of give the energy and as Alvin said, take in the energy. Just being together there, and yeah, one more cliche: holding up the sword together, side by side.
Oh, wow!
And side stand strong.
You are very good at power metal lyrics. I'm just gonna say.
Yeah, you guys know what's up.
Yeah, yeah. Just have to insert a few so far aways, and then you'll be. Yeah. You'll
and
be right
more,
on.
Evermore.
And evermore. Also. Forevermore. Yeah, don't take advice from us. We want you to keep writing good music.
We'll do the best we can. Promise you that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, where can our fans find you on the internet?
Well, Alvin manages the Instagram account.
Yeah, at Don't Drop the Sword.
At Don't Drop the Sword. Got it. We will put Instagram. That in the show notes as links.
And there's, of course, Facebook. And we have a homepage also, which should come up first place if you Google Don't Drop the Sword. And you can anytime reach out to any one of us on Instagram or Facebook. That's, you can contact anyone.
Great.
And to our listeners, be sure to check out Don't Drop the Sword, their EP Into the Fire and full-length album Path to Eternity. They're both very excellent. Guys, it's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Same here. Thank you.
Same. Thank you for having us.
So to conclude, what do we make the people do usually? Do we make them say stay powerful?
Yeah. You know what? We made Hansi do it. These guys can do it too.
You guys,
damn it.
If Hansi can do it, you can do it too.
Okay.
You do
it. How do we do it, Alvin?
I don't know. You're the singer. You do the voice thing.
The voice.
Yeah, if you want to sing.
Okay, I'll do the voice thing.
Maybe put a power scream in there.
Oh, God, my neighbors are going to kill me. But when did
it
ever stop me from anything?
Guys.
Yeah, I don't care. So I just take the mic and put it a little bit away from my mouth if I'm doing the screamy thing.
Oh, my
thing.
God, he's going to do
man.
It. I'm so excited.
Stay powerful!
No.
Nope.
That was awesome. I thought that was awesome.
He does not approve.
Yeah, I don't know how loud I can go here. It's almost 10 o'clock and
I
got one or two complaints
almost,
since living here. I'm
if it's
sorry.
Not 10 o'clock, then fuck it.
Okay, shall I do one more?
Yeah,
take two.
You're welcome to do as much as you want.
Okay.
Stay powerful!
Oh, that was so good.
That was so
oh
sick.
My god, can we go with that? Take Darko, editing guy.
Yeah,
use
better
that
than the
one.
First one.
No, the second one was
I do
excellent.
The voice thing, you do
oh,
the
yeah,
editing thing.
No,
beautiful.
Put both of them together and like harmonize
man,
them. Oh
was,
my god.
I don't even know if I can even deliver on that.
Yeah, how are you gonna follow up on that?
Should I just go for it? Like I can't sing it. No way.
You can do that!
I just say stay powerful in my epic treble
nice.
Voice or
I like exactly. that. I like that. Yeah. Okay, we're going with that one. Perfect on first take.
Yep, and make sure you never drop that sword.
Never
drop
ever.
That sword.
Ever.
This sword shall not be dropped. Yep.